EDM champions, welcome to episode 89. We've got new music from people like Kashmir, Wilkinson and Woolly, and we're also joined by our sensational guest Bella Renee. We're going to be talking about how her music blew up on TikTok, her perspective on being a female in a traditional male-dominated scene, all of this and so much more on this week's episode of Beyond the Beats. Let's get it.
Alec, we have a packed episode for episode 89 of Beyond the Beats. And dude, you already know it. Let's just dive right into it. Because this is not an episode of Beyond the Beats without talking about some brand new music. Every single week, new music is dropping from artists all over the world. Alec, where are we stopping off first? Give it to me straight, baby. Let's go.
We're going over across the blue ocean to Europe because Kashmir just dropped a new track called Around the World featuring New Men. This is going to be interesting. Let's take a listen.
You know, dude, Kashmir has been hyping up his album quite a bit, and it's dropping pretty soon, man. But I gotta say, you know, I'm kind of lukewarm on this track, all right? The production on it is super clean, as usual. You kind of expect that from Kashmir. And I don't know, I think right now I'm feeling like the concept of his new sound is a bit weak. And I was feeling that right up until that second drop, bro. He brought in that saxophone as the lead on the second drop, and I thought that was such a genius move. So I was feeling lukewarm. I'm a little bit more pumped up on it, but overall I'm really excited about how he's bringing in these more organic instruments, and I'm kind of excited to see what his album kind of brings to life. Alec, what'd you think? Give it to me, baby.
I really hope that he brings in more of those instrumental elements into drops and various things, because I'm lukewarm, but I'm actually probably more tepid. Actually, I'd say more of a tepid.
Tepid. Wow.
Yeah, right. I know. I hope I used that correctly. It is a nice word. I like to expand vocabulary here on Beyond the Beats. But
what? Did you just take the SATs or something? Like, why do you know this word? Like, what is going on here now?
I've been reading more, man. You know how you read more and you pick up stuff?
Like, totally.
Just randomly like that. But, you know, man, I wish I could pick up this track and be playing it out loud, because, you know, I do like Kashmir at some points, but I'm a little bit disappointed with this, man. I just feel like there's nothing to... It doesn't feel like there's real soul in this. You know what I mean? It feels a bit too poppy. I love the instruments at the end, but I really am hoping he's going to kick it up a notch when he gets this new album going. Do we know when that's coming out, by the way?
I don't know just yet, but I know it's coming out pretty soon. So we'll definitely be talking about it once it releases. But Alec, you're such a big fan of this next guy right here, dude. You know, we got Joel Curry, we got Ray, and David Guetta for a brand new track called Bed. Let's give this one a spin.
Being a bit of a Debbie Downer this week.
Oh, no.
I wasn't that into this song. I thought it was a bit too cookie cutter from him. Because look, I mean, you know, songs like Sorry that Joel Corey is really known very well for. I believe it was actually featured on Love Island. That's how it got very popular and big. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's how he blew up. But, you know, those sounds and stuff, as catchy and as amazing they are to dance to and stuff, I'd like to see him expand a little bit more. And the reason I'm focusing more on Joel Corey, and I'm sure you're going to bring this up too, is where was David Guetta at this? I'm not entirely sure where he was. This sounded just like a Joel Corey and Ray, who's the lead vocalist on this. It sounds just exclusively like their track. So a bit cookie cutter, again, a little bit weak. I mean, it's catchy. Definitely something that's nice probably to drive to. So I just want a little bit more from them. And then also, as you were probably going to dive into, David Guetta, where are you, my man? I don't know where he is.
Alec, I think we need to go to the police station and file a missing persons report, because David Guetta was nowhere to be found on this track at all, dude. And this is just another example of just too many cooks in the kitchen, or in this case, the artist in the artist line, right? Joel Curry and Ray, I mean, I think that is where the track really shines, kind of bringing that pop house like to the next level. I thought this track is very dancey, upbeat, and fun, but this is exactly what you would expect from them. And it's nothing more and nothing less. It's just average.
Playing
for what
it safe. Yeah, playing it safe. It's a
exactly,
safe song.
Exactly. And I hope we find David Guetta soon, because I'm really concerned about his well-being.
Me too. I think he transcended Planet Earth with doing future raves. So I think he's gone somewhere else.
Totally.
They try to bring him back here.
Okay. You know, this is just not an episode of Beyond the Beats without a little bit of DMV thrown in there, dude. And we got Wilkinson with his brand new track, Frontline. Let's give this one a spin.
My mans, all right, time to break the negative energy right here. Yeah. I even just snapped because I'm so excited about this, because Wilkinson, baby, he's coming back in hot. Got a little bit of energy in there. I love it when he has a few tracks like that every now and then where he deviates away from the, you know, the higher synths, the more lighter melodic almost sounds in that progressive D&B subgenre, but he just injected some energy in this, and that's what I absolutely love about it. It's got some energy. Guess you want to get going, right? I want to work out to this. That's how I feel about this track. I'm all about it. How about you, my man?
Dude, the lead on this song, especially on that drop, just gets stuck in your head, and I'm really all here for it, man. As I'm talking about this song, as I'm listening to this song, I'm legit like bobbing my head, because this is such a great track that you can just get lost into. And dude, I feel like a big part of D&B is the percussion, and the percussion on this track is super, super tight and super clean. Those snares just pierce right through, and it just brings the energy to the next level every time it hits. I'm such a big fan of this.
Beautiful mastering. So whoever was doing the master on that, job well done. Yeah, not quite like that. But last one for this week's new music section. And this is, I'm very excited to be talking about this one.
Oh, man.
So thank you for putting this onto the show notes. But Wooly is back. I feel like we haven't covered too much of Wooly. So
yeah,
good to have him back in the Beyond the Beat show. But he just dropped a new track called The Call. This is very interesting. Take a look.
He's trying something new and fresh, and I thought he executed this very well, actually. Like when the track first started, I was really pumped up on the trance he was throwing in there, which felt like such a huge departure from like his usual rhythm sound. And then the way he was able to combine elements of like both psytrance and rhythm can really only be done by a master like Wooly. This guy has just kind of perfected his craft. And honestly, dude, I'm not usually a big fan of like such jarring switches from one genre to another, especially something like trance to rhythm, pretty much like two complete polar opposites of what you would expect on the genre spectrum. But Wooly seriously did this so well. I can see this really blowing some heads. What'd you think?
I was very impressed with this, man. I'm usually not a fan of that at all, but it wasn't jarring at all to me. It really flowed very well, I thought. I mean, each component and each influence really stood and shone in its own right, but then came together in a really nice way for that drop. So it was a great little switch up. Again, like building up, as you were saying, with the trance, I thought was great. And then you could hear the hardstyle influence in there too, right before he was getting the drop. You know, it was just, I don't even know what to call that sound. I was about to imitate it, but I don't think I will for fear of embarrassing myself. But this is just a track that I think a lot of people could be getting behind. And I love to see that Wooly's getting creative here. And now has a lot of different elements that he could throw into his sets. He's been doing some melodic dubstep. Mm-hmm, he's got some rhythm in there. He's got dub. He's been doing some like, you know, psytrance type of stuff. So he's got a lot of different elements he can throw. So I feel like more songs like this are going to be crazy to see in a set, because it's really just going to combine all those different elements and influences that he started to incorporate in his set. So I'm very, very excited.
I love that, bro. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts on that brand new Wooly track and all this new music, some good, some bad, you know, but you know, that's the beauty of this scene. There's always some new tunes that are coming out. But Alec, the EDM champions, they got to get connected to us, to the music, to the stuff that we talk about on the show. How do they do that, bro? Give it to me straight.
Oh, well, they've got to go to our website, beyondthebeats.co, and click on episode 89, and you'll be able to find all of the links to the songs, playlists, and music that we'll be mentioning in the show, as well as for our chat with Bella as she's waiting to come on. And then definitely reach out to us on social, okay? We've got Instagram, that's at btb.pod, and on Twitter, we're at podbtb.
Bro, thank you so much for plugging that. But Alec, I'm so excited to talk to Bella right now.
Pumped, man. EDM champions. Ladies and gentlemen of the world, we have a very, very special guest for you today. I'm so excited about this, Sabir. This is,
oh yeah,
I'm super excited. Shout out to Jason fucking Euler for finally introducing us to none other than Bella Renee. First of all, I have to just go through some of the highlights here, because when I looked at kind of an EPK here, I was like, who the fuck is this superstar? This is like a super fucking woman coming over here, pulling out all the stops. She's published through Universal Music in 2020. I mean, just to get onto Universal is just massive, massive accomplishment. She dropped this awesome banger of a track called New Normal with Tie Dye. I mean, that reached number one in Billboard charts. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, crazy already. It gets crazier, okay? She blew up on TikTok, and that's very, you know, very good name there for blow up on TikTok, as is there. She wrote it for TikTok. We're going to really dive into that and how to get big on TikTok too with her. She also sang, Samir, this is unbelievable. She sang the national anthem for the Arizona Diamondbacks. That's unbelievable. You got to have one heck of a voice to do that. She's just got all of this and so, so much more. I think all of this can be very well represented in a new track that she has just dropped. Take a listen to Call Me Back, and you need to get some of those brilliant, clean vocals and poppy vibes.
Such a great song, Alec. Absolutely an honor to have Bella Renee right here on Beyond the Beats for a special guest episode. We got a lot of great stuff to talk about, so let's just get right into it. Bella, you're calling in from Arizona. It's looking bright and beautiful out there. How are you doing today?
I am so good. I'm very happy to be talking to you guys. What an intro.
we like to manifest like just good vibes, good positivity, because, you know, when we build each other up, everybody feels good. We are truly, truly impressed by your career, and we're so excited to have you on the show, because we really believe that you're going to be able to provide some excellent insight into how the inner machinations of the dance music and the music industry as a whole works. But before we dive into all that, let's just hear a little bit about you. Bella, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about, you know, how you got into singing, into music. What really motivated you to want to start being an artist?
Well, I grew up with a rocker dad, which is a dream. That's in general. Sweet. So I grew up like watching him do gigs at like bars and just everywhere with a band. So I remember like when I was little, I would put chairs together next to the speakers and like take a nap during his gigs. Not even be bothered by like the loud rock music. So yeah. I grew up with that, and that was kind of like a huge influence on me. And then I think I've always known that I wanted to be something a lot different than like my brothers and everyone else, but I didn't even realize that I wanted to be an artist until about when I graduated high school, because I always wanted to be a producer in music. And so it kind of like switched. There was like a switch in me that was like, wait, like I actually want to be the artist. I don't want to be the producer. I want to be the artist. So then I started getting into pop music, but originally it was folk music that I was super into, like Mumford and Sons.
Oh,
yeah, yes. I love
Alec
that.
Yes. Alec is having a great time over there.
Yes, I love you already. Okay, we're ending the show. This is great. What a great day.
Yay. No.
Mumford and Sons.
So Mumford and Sons was a huge influence in me. In high school and college. And so I originally started with like the ukulele. It was like songwriting, doing like a really folky kind of thing. And then I branched out into pop music actually after I left Berklee College of Music. Mm-hmm. I wrote a song called Wanderlust, and it was the first time that I branched out from indie folk music. And so that was kind of like, wait, I kind of want to be a pop singer now and not the whole indie folk with the ukulele thing. So and then I met my manager, Jason, and my producer, Halen, within like the same year. And now we're just kind of like going. We're just going with the flow right now, which is awesome.
Absolutely. And you know what I love is that you've kind of gone through these periods of self-discovery, really trying to figure out what you want to do. And I find that is just so important in people trying to figure out who they want to be, whether you're an artist or you're a career-oriented person, you know, working in the corporate America 9-to-5, whatever it may be. People go through these periods of change. And Bella, we're so happy that you found your calling right here in pop music. And on top of that, you're doing some dance music crossovers. I know you have a song with Tie-Dye, which is just an absolute banger. You know, one thing we like to ask our guests who come onto the show is, you know, we really want to know, Bella, like, how are you doing with COVID? You're doing all right. How has this time been for you?
Absolutely horrendous, as it is for everyone.
Oh, no. Yeah.
But you know what? At the same time, I actually realized that 2020 was a lot better for me than it could have been. I actually did end up getting COVID in 2020.
Oh no.
I know. I was sick for like a whole month, like 26 days, I think. Ooh. But I have never seen so much growth in myself ever, like in my whole life, than 2020. So I think I'll always look back on it as being one of those years that was like one of the best years of my life, even though COVID kind of, I don't even know how to explain it, because everyone went through this and everybody experienced something different. But I think for me, it was kind of meant to be like the train to stop in the middle, like of its, you know, stop in its tracks,
yeah,
right, and kind of change to a different route. I feel like I needed that.
Describe a little bit more about what you mean. Like what's the route that you kind of changed towards? Are you talking more about kind of your creative process here? Like describe us a little bit more about that shift.
You know what? COVID made me put music first. And what I mean by that is like, I lost my job at Starbucks because of COVID.
Wow, I'm sorry.
And immediately, it's okay though, because immediately after that, I got to see what it's like to live life full-time being a musician, full-time going to the studio. If it wasn't for COVID, I'm not kidding you. And you could ask my producer this one day. I basically lived in his house in his studio. I was there almost every single day. I'm not kidding. So we got to finish like 16 original tracks.
Whoa.
Wow. 16 original tracks. We have a whole thing. I wish I could show you the list, but I mean, we got to work on features that year. We got to travel to California all the time to go with the studios in LA. I mean, had I been working that Starbucks job, I would have had to request time off or just not be able to go. And so I don't know. I see it as like, oh my gosh, I lost my job. So then I had to go on unemployment, which I really do think a lot of artists had to go through. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's important to be real about like what happened to you during COVID, because everyone's like, oh, it was awful. But like, if you really look at it, how awful can it be that you literally got free time to focus on yourself, your family and everything? And I don't know, it wasn't as awful, but it still sucked getting COVID and seeing a lot of people suffer. That's awful.
Do you feel in a weird way, because I know I've talked to some people who feel this, but do you feel almost more fulfilled now as a person coming out of this pandemic, more of a wholesome person exploring all your different interests and things?
Yeah, actually, I was going to get into this anyways, but towards the end of 2020, that was actually the worst time for me. I actually ended up in the hospital. But it's so much better now. I was meant to go. And so I think mental health is really important. And so towards the end of 2020, that's whenever it started to kind of go downhill for me. I mean, there was so many amazing things happening in my music, but as artists, it's very hard to like always be like in touch with your emotions. You know what I mean? And it never, there's like a weird stigma around mental health and artists. So that's one of the biggest things that I want to kind of join in with my music. I have a song called Anxiety. Yeah. So I'm really trying to like integrate everything that I'm learning about myself as far as mental health, because I never really had that when I was growing up. So it's something I'm discovering. And I kind of went through this like big, giant, like mindfulness awakening last year. And now I just feel so fulfilled and so happy to like be alive and doing what I'm doing. And I just want to put all that into my music.
Bella, I just want to start by saying that I really appreciate your openness right now, and I really appreciate you getting a little bit vulnerable right now with us, just kind of talking about your experiences and how you want that to kind of carry in and to shape the music that you put out and the messages that you put out, especially to the world.
Real quick, before we dive into the news and culture here, what are some of the tips that you have for people that feel like they're struggling a little bit right now with their mental health? What are some of the tactics and strategies, or even just, you know, meta communication with yourself, that you'd recommend that other people employ?
I love this. I am so happy I get to say this with you guys. So the biggest thing for me back in 2020, December, I didn't know what to do. I didn't think that there was anything that could fix how I was feeling. I just kind of accepted that this is my lifestyle. I have a mental illness, so I am always going to be this way. But once I reached out and did something extremely uncomfortable, which was going to the hospital, you know, for getting help. Mm-hmm. That was when I discovered that it's literally all about your perspective, and that is it. It's okay for you to have whatever mental illness you have, but the way that you look at it and the way that you look at what you're going through, even if you don't have a mental illness and you are just going through a little bit of mental health issues, I think the way that you're looking at it and the way that you're looking at life really matters. It's literally a matter of life or death for some people. Yeah. And so being very mindful, being very in the moment, I realized like last year, I was very, very so focused on the future and so focused on the past. And I never like sat down and looked at the sky and like took a deep breath and was like, wow, like right now I'm living, like I'm literally living right now. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I don't have to worry about yesterday. Just being in the moment, which is really hard for me to do. I don't know what, like, it just comes easier for some people. But for me, it's hard to be in the moment because I'm an artist and I want to constantly be living in the future. Practice mindfulness. There's books you can read. You can look it up online. Pinterest has cute aesthetic quotes and mindfulness tips. That's what I do. I go on Pinterest, I'm not gonna lie. And it's just so cute. And journaling, that's the biggest thing for me that has changed my life.
I think what you brought up with mindfulness too is a brilliant thing. Like I take 15 minutes out of every day in the middle of the day just to sit down and practice mindfulness. You know, it's just a welcome release. So thank you so much for bringing this up. And champions, if you heard it here, like you just absolutely need to take this stuff seriously and take advantage of the time that you may have right now, right? In order to do these, because you will be better off in the future and we will eventually be out of this pandemic. So make sure that you're leaving it with your best mind forward.
Ooh, I love that. Well, guys, you already know that we got some fantastic news and culture topics that we just have to get into. And I'm sure we could actually probably do like a separate episode just about, you know, mindfulness, breathing, you know, keeping your mental health, your emotional state in check. You know, maybe we should kind of plan that one for the future. I think that'd be really nice.
Let's do it.
Yeah. But let's get into this news and culture here, because we got Bella Renee right now. Just a wonderful vocalist, a wonderful artist. She's putting out some amazing pop tunes, some amazing pop dance tunes. And that's why we have her on, because she's got the insight. She knows what's going on in this scene. So let's get right into it. Guys, first up, this is so important to talk about right here. Well, we got two more important topics here, but this one right here, I'm really interested to get your thoughts on here, right? Is the effect of TikTok on the music that we are hearing today, right? TikTok has captured a younger audience, right? And a younger audience that really enjoys songs that hit immediately, that are catchy, that are kind of succinct as well, but have a lot packed into it. So could you tell me a little bit more in your experience about what it's like to sort of write music with the hopes of it getting big on TikTok in order to reach a larger audience? Can you tell us a little bit more about how TikTok has affected you as an artist? And then on top of that, how it's affected music in general that we consume?
Yeah. So first I'll say, as a consumer, it's important to recognize what songs are getting popular, what the topic is, how it sounds, what parts of the song are getting to be blown up, you know, because there could be one specific part of a song, but then the rest of the song is like not it, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's so interesting as a consumer to listen to it with that kind of perspective. As an artist, oh my God, it is frustrating, but it's also very exciting. And I love that. Like, if you can give me frustrating and exciting, then you will have a very good song.
But what have you found to be like the formula, you know?
Okay, so every single like viral TikTok song kind of has like an idea of a trend. The algorithm kind of picks up on like trends more. So when you're writing a song, or when I'm writing a song, I should say, I kind of think about like, what kind of trend could I like piggyback off of? So, cause it's hand in hand. So for like Call Me Back, the chorus, I would say would be the most popular. That would be the part that kind of goes viral on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Statistically speaking, not that it actually did, but that'd be awesome. But I could think of a trend, like a sassy kind of trend where like someone's hanging up on the other person. So you kind of like have to think about what kind of scenario can I create with the words that I'm writing. And then the song itself, the production needs to just be like hard hitting. People love their four on the floor beat on TikTok. Mm. Very dancey. Or just like a really cool drop, weird vocals. Like, it's just, it has to be weird and very like immediately catchy and very memorable. So it's mind blowing watching a platform be the number one way to discover music right now in the industry. Like, that is like what everyone is using to discover music. So it's very weird as like a songwriter to be watching it and see like what you can take from it. It's so weird. It's like you're in the moment literally trying to figure it out.
So here's a tough question though. How do you feel about that as an artist? How do you feel about the ways in which you're now kind of framing the way you write certain songs to be friendly to an algorithm of a social media platform? How does that make you feel, if you can kind of dig into that a little bit?
I love this, and I'm gonna get vulnerable again because
Please
I think
do.
It's important.
Yeah.
It's frustrating, definitely, because as an artist, you ought for me, this is my most important number one thing that is just like so important to me, is to be extremely transparent and to be very authentic. So when I'm writing my music, I don't want to have to think about what could potentially blow up on TikTok, what could potentially get over 10,000 streams on Spotify. Like, that is so frustrating for me as an artist, because I just want people to listen to my music and love it for what it is and for what came out of my brain naturally. So it is very frustrating because I do have to take that into consideration, but I also trust myself. You know, I trust what I do. I believe in myself 1,000,000%. I know that the music that I make, I mean, there's people around me that love it. I love it, and that's all that matters to me. So for me to not have my song blow up on TikTok, or to have it blow up on TikTok, I don't think it's going to ever change the way that I write my music. I just think it's a really awesome tool to always have in the back of my head. And it's also fun to think about what trends I can create on my own, or what other people are going to do to my music.
No, I love that answer, and the fact that it's not going to deter you from the way in which you want to write your music, because it's just a vehicle for getting sounds and songs into people's, you know, heads. Like, it's just a vehicle. So I think we're at a very interesting point in time in which this could, for a lot of people, change the way they write songs or what they produce, mm-hmm. and how they decide to, you know, their creative pursuits. But I'm glad to see that you're not, because I think your music is so outstanding, you know, and I don't say this for a lot of, you know, pop or dance things, but it's truly outstanding. It's got authenticity. It's got depth to it. This is the type of stuff that I want to see a lot more of being played. And I think this is something a lot of our champions will know. It's I kind of rage against the man and the machine of this with it. But I think we've gotten to a place where technology, especially social media technology, is really capturing the lowest hanging fruit of the human psyche, which is like what captures you instantly. What grabs your attention from someone else. Everything is a fight over people's fucking attention. It's all in a split millisecond, right? Even the algorithms are not really designed to actually grow you as a person. It's designed to feed you more of what you've been consuming. Mm-hmm. And I think in the music industry, that is really stifling. I think that's very stifling. If it's let to get to a point of oversaturation where everybody in the mainstream market is doing that. So I really want to see come out, and I hope, and I think at some point they will. I know people like Audius and stuff are working on that. You know, Radiate is another like social media technology platform that's doing a better job of this. But there needs to be a platform that comes out that gives light to people that, you know what, the intro of the song is just as important as the outro or the drop. Yeah. The whole song comes together. I mean, songs used to be 8 minutes fucking long, right? Like best original extended remixes. I always listen to the original mix. Like, you don't want to listen to anything else. Like, you know, you want to get all of it together. And I feel like with your music too, that when you listen to it from start to finish, and if you just listen to the chorus, you get a snapshot, and it's a very catchy snapshot, and it's an amazing snapshot, but it's not the entirety of the song. I don't know if you feel the same way, but as a consumer, I want to see more of the entirety of the song, because I feel like that's how you get all of the emotion that these artists are packing in.
Yeah, I love that you brought up social media, because I'm so passionate about my opinions on social media. I love that you say that it shows you the lowest hanging fruit. You know what I mean? It's just, it's not the one, the biggest thing that I did for myself. As soon as I met Jason, he actually made me do this, and I'm so happy he did. He said, go unfollow everybody that does not inspire you right now on your Instagram.
That's awesome.
I'm not kidding. I was following like over 1,000 accounts, and now I'm at like 700, and I'm so careful about what I follow and what I look at. If you go look at your screen time, that is how much of like energy and just consciousness you are literally putting into your head. And it 100% help, like, shapes who you are. I truly believe that.
Yeah.
Whatever you are consuming is what you are and what you want to be. And a book I'm reading right now is The Power of the Subconscious Mind. And I think that social media, it's literally a feeding. I feel like it's like a feeding tube into your subconscious mind, because as an artist, you're just going to want to be whatever you see on your screen, because people are, you know, people are buying followers. People are, it's not everything that you think it is. You just have to unplug.
It's not reality. And just, you really hit the nail on the head there, Bella, when you were talking about how you've got to almost unplug from it. Use it as a tool to enhance your life, to be beneficial. That's the beauty of what social media can provide. So I'm not totally against social media. It's just people need to be much more mindful, right? There we go back to that mindful word. There mindful about how they use it.
You know what? I do want to give props to the people who are breaking out of that social media normal. There's a lot of people who are kind of like waking up from realizing what they're looking at.
Yeah.
And props to everyone who has already discovered that that's not real life. That is so awesome for people to just like kind of take that away from their lives and kind of live more authentically themselves. I think I even started posting differently on Instagram when I realized this doesn't matter. Like, none of this matters.
But, you know, Bella, we got you on the show. And another topic that has become a recurring theme right here on Beyond the Beats, and something that we just love to kind of really get out there in the open so people realize what's happening in the music industry, right? We're talking about how marginalized groups in the music industry are kind of kept at the margins, kind of kept on the outskirts. And that could be people who come from, you know, different cultural backgrounds, but that can also happen, and it happens a lot, to women in the music industry, right? The music industry is a traditionally male-dominated industry. And based on the conversations that we've seen, the people that we've talked to, it seems like things are improving. And I wanted to turn this one over to you, and I wanted to understand, in your experience, are things improving? And better yet, how can we make sure that, you know, things continue to improve? And when I say improve, what I mean by that is making the music industry a more well-represented space for people that come from all walks of life.
Yeah. So I was really thinking deeply into this one. As a woman in the music industry and male-dominant music industry, I went to Berklee College of Music. Let's start there. And I just noticed it was not like, it was just horrible for me. It was very like, it's almost like everyone was trying to cater to the women that were trying to be like in the production side of everything. So I think that's where it starts, is colleges like that, or, you know, just atmospheres like that, maybe LA too. I'm sure there's like a bubble of people, but it really, really, really starts there. And for me, I going into like the music industry with like Jason and Halen, everyone is a male in my life when it comes to music industry, except for my manager, Brie. Love her.
What up,
but
Brie?
But I noticed when being in the actual music industry, it is not as bad. Like, I do feel like there's a lot of inclusivity, and I feel like it's not awful. Like, the people who are actually actively being in the music industry, actively working with women and anyone else of any gender, I feel like we're all just very careful, and we all know like, this, you can't do this. But when it comes to like Berklee College of Music and being there where everyone wants to be a part of it, that's when it's the worst. Even when it comes down to like asking what something is for, I'll call it mansplaining, because I know a lot of women will agree with me.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
It was like, if you didn't know one thing in an environment where you are trying to learn, then you are attacked and you're like, oh, well, you know, that's why like men are producers. And so that was just, it was very weird.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
But being in the actual music industry is awesome. Like, I don't see a huge problem, but I do sometimes when it comes to little things.
When you say like, you kind of see like these little issues kind of pop up here and there, right? Are you talking more so, and I don't know if this is the right term for this, but like microaggressions, like kind of like,
yes,
like these little bouts of like, oh, you didn't know that, or like, oh, you didn't know this, but like those things sort of like compound. And I'm so happy that like your experience in working in the industry has been a positive one. That is really, really refreshing to hear, because I don't know, Alec, I feel like we just hear so many stories of people just not feeling included just based on who they are and how they were naturally born or who they chose to be. Are you saying that the issues really more so arise when a person's trying to take that next step to get into the music industry circle? But like, as an outsider looking in, there's like a lot of these barriers that can stop a person from taking that next step.
Yeah, I think when someone is like about to go in the music industry, or is very like really wants to go into the music industry,
yeah,
I feel like it's just kind of this thing where they think they have to be that way, because we all think, oh, it's a male dominated industry, but it's not anymore. That's very like, it's an outdated term now. Like, that's totally not what I don't think it's a male dominated industry anymore. I think it's very mixed in. So I think that just like the natural bias that everyone has at Berklee, I'm not going to say everyone, because I don't know if it's everyone, but I mean, every single day I would experience something of like a microaggression when it, even when it comes to now, I am in the music industry fully. When I have to take a position of authority as a woman, it's very hard, because I'm a woman and I don't even know how to explain it. Like, it's very hard to have that position of authority. But then it's like, you have a bunch of males surrounding you that are also authority to you. So I just think communication is the most important thing on both sides.
And it seems like a key thing too is shedding past labels, right? And past confines. Because it's interesting you mentioned that once you get into the music scene, it seems like once you actually get down to like the actual topics, right? If you are a thought leader on it, if you are good at what you do, that's really what should be the credential. And I think that's what we should all move towards, is that the end product is what matters here, not where you're from, who you are, what you look like. It's really what the end product is. So I think that's very interesting. It's like, I feel like we're in this stage of separation from past, you know, hindrances and things, and we're getting onto the future, but sometimes we just allow certain things to come back, like the past labels, the past thoughts. You know, we have to really see the potential and bring out the positives, and that will push, I think, the industry forward, and I hope so too, is the fact that, you know, hearing stories more like yourself, right? Like, hearing these stories, hearing your success with it, And the fact that you're able to be a position of authority, and you've done this, you know, with help, but really of your own fruition, that you are an independent mm-hmm. person, that you've done these things incredibly well. And I think these are stories that we need to tell and get people to believe in, because if you go in believing that you're hindered in some way, that will, you know, it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy in a way. Not to say that mm-hmm. there aren't obstacles that you will face, but you have to shed that initial like self, you know, deprivation type of thing, if that makes any sense.
I love that. You are like, yes.
He's so eloquent. You know, it's just so wonderful to hear him speak. I can just get like lost in his words.
Yes, everything you were saying, I'm just going to nod my head. I'm going to keep nodding it. My neck is going to hurt after this.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way, because we're very passionate about it. And we've always said this, right, Samir, is that mm-hmm. the whole point of this podcast, and really the essence of what I believe dance music to be, and this goes back to, I mean, champions already know, goes back to the early days of house music, when you're going back to Chicago in the warehouse with DJ Frankie Knuckles, and you got Lyra Levan in Paradise Garage, you know, right after the disco era. It was a place where all people could just let loose, and it doesn't matter who you are. It was a place for them to experience life and connections with other people without any of the hindrances or superficial labels. And I think that's what is the most important thing. You get back down to the product, back down to, okay, this is what we're all here for, a shared common passion. And I think that's the most important thing. And especially in the music industry, I mean, it's just ridiculous to me that people have been experiencing prejudices, because it's like, who the fuck cares where you're, like, who cares? Like, it has no influence. Like, the only thing that really matters there is if you bring a certain, you know, cultural flavor to it. And that is very important. And that should be included and noted. But that doesn't define who you are or define where you can go. Sorry, I could go on all about this all day.
Alec is just very, very passionate over there.
Very passionate.
I agree. And you're not even, none of it matters when you are literally listening to the music and enjoying it and feeling it. I don't even question what anyone looks like when I'm listening to their music. Like, I don't even care.
Yeah. And that's the end goal right there that we're trying to get to. It's not about what you look like. It's about how you know what you're putting out to the world to experience, you know. Mm-hmm. Guys, really riveting discussions right now. I'm feeling really, really pumped up right here. But, you know, this is not an episode of Beyond the Beats without some music. And we got some music that we just got to play, and we just got to spotlight, all right? And Bella, welcome to the show. We're super excited to have you. Bella Renee, everybody, right here, vocalist, artist, advocate. You're an advocate right now. You're advocating
for
important
issues.
She's
killing
it, and I love to see it. But let's get into this. Artists that we're watching. This is the part of the show where each person spotlights an underground artist that we just got to rise up and get to a larger audience. People need to know what these artists are doing and the music that they're putting out, because they put the time and the effort to put these beautiful tracks together. And our hope is that we can present these sounds to a worldwide audience. Alec, do you mind if I take the reins on this one? Because I'm really excited about my artist that I'm watching.
All right. I can't wait.
All right, my friend. Okay, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, all right, we've been talking about this on the show quite a bit, but I'm trying to find some weird, funky sounds that come from outside of planet Earth, all right? And I think I found an artist right here that exemplifies that so well. I'm talking, of course, about Jay Kutch. I love this guy's sound. Better yet, I love what he's doing. I love how each of his tracks sort of have like a theme to them, right? So this track in specific that I'm going to play for everybody is called Data Loss. And what I love about this track is, just as the name describes it, the artwork, the whole package of the song is about this kind of technological world where you know, words get lost in translation. And it's accompanied by beautiful vocals from Adam Tell, EDM Champions. Take a listen to Data Loss.
I think I just lost data while losing to that. Maybe some, you know, some personal files of mine have slipped through the cracks. Yeah. Because as I was listening to this, I felt all encompassed by really the soundscapes that he was creating here. Just an absolutely, it was beautiful in its own way. I mean, you know, vocals I thought were great. Antel, shout out to you for that. But it was really just, it was all encompassing and all encapsulating. And I think that's exactly what I look for when thinking about a track.
Oh my God, I literally have listened to it like 5 million times.
Oh, look at that.
It is what John Bellion wishes he sounds like.
Whoa.
So good. Yes. Like, it's so good. I was very shocked, and I'm jealous because every time I write music, when it comes to production, I just want to add weird stuff. But I think he just like took all the weird stuff you could possibly put in your song and used it himself. So he didn't leave anything else for anybody.
Yeah. Well, I'm really excited that you enjoyed Jay Kutch. I'm really, really big fan of what this guy's doing. And like I said, each of his songs, they just seem to be like their own package, their own themes. And that's what I love about this guy. It's like, you're just going to get so much variety from Jay Kutch. And then, of course, big props to Adam Till on those vocals, because he sounded absolutely sublime. But Bella, you got somebody to feature on our show. We just absolutely love this guy. Please tell us, who is the artist that you're watching?
Yeah, so my good friend, Ekanova, oh my goodness, he is just an absolutely insane musician. He does like Echo Tech. I don't even know how to explain like his genre. I'm going to say Echo Tech. I feel like that's really good.
I love
good.
That. There we go. Echo Tech. Sure. I love it.
But he just recently released a debut EP for his new sound. And even his style previously to this EP is just outstanding. Like, his musicianship just in what he does is very, very good. But this new sound, like, I listened to the song The Beginning that he put out about a year ago. Jason sent it to me and he's like, listen to this. And it's been stuck in my head ever since. Like, I would tell him that. It's been stuck in my head since I first heard it. And it's just so, so good. His vocals are amazing. One of his favorite artists is Coldplay. And you can literally hear the influence that it had on him. So
absolutely.
He's an amazing, we should listen to it.
Yep. EDM champions, take a listen to Bella Renee's pick for the artists that we're watching. We got Ekanova with his brand new track, The Beginning.
First of all, I'm a huge fan of Ekanova. I got the pleasure of chatting with him outside of audio in San Francisco one time after that. A past episode, maybe like a year ago.
Oh, gosh, dude.
It was a long time ago, but he was put on my radar. Was it In Rotation that you released something on?
Yeah, I can't remember. Big release on Insomniac Records, imprint In Rotation.
Yeah, it was something else. And just this is going to be, if we had our drinking game on today, I'm going to say he's gone from strength to strength.
Oh, there you go.
As we say, I say a lot on here. He really has, right, Bella? It's just like he's really just gone strength to strength. And I just love the different influences and the different creative aspects that he's now incorporating in his new tunes. But what I love is that they all come together in a complete package. Like, you can hear all of this being played in a set. So Ekanova, come back to fucking California, baby. Come back to NorCal. Come back to audio in San Francisco. I'd love that. And then Bella, I want to see you over here too.
Absolutely. Right?
Don't even tempt me. I will drive over there and go see you guys.
Please go. Please do. Please do. Would you do like, so here's a question. I was like, would you do like, I've always wondered about this as like a musician and as a vocalist especially too. How easy is it to do live vocals on top of like a DJ track or something like that?
Oh, we got some stuff coming, just so you know.
Okay.
There is things in the works. I am going to say things without saying them, but I have done a lot of features, obviously, with artists. And Jason He does festivals. So, and he books certain artists for giant festivals. And he manages an artist that sings. So we'll just say that.
Let's do it two together there. I love that.
This is such a great pick for our artists that we're watching section. Seriously, thank you so much for putting Econova finally on the list. Alec and I, it's so funny. We've been talking about like, okay, one of these episodes we're going to put Econova like on this list right here. So really, really, really appreciate that. Alec, you got a pick, baby. Keep the vibes going, brother. Who you got for us on the artists that we're watching section? Let's go, baby.
Oh my days, ladies and gentlemen. EDM champions of the globe. I want you all to close your eyes for a minute. We've been talking a lot about mindfulness. I want you to go into your mindfulness space right now. Close your eyes and picture a beach. Bella, can you picture a beach? You've got the sand. You know that feeling when you go on some crisp, really warm, but not too hot, but warm sand beneath your feet. Oh, and you can so just nice. Feel the grains of sand going. But here's the other thing that I want you to picture too, that whilst you're walking towards the ocean, those beautiful blue, slightly green, luminescent waves coming over, you could also feel right beneath your feet some pounding bass, just something shaking the sand a little bit. And you turn your attention, you look left, look over your left shoulder, and you're like, oh, shit. There's something going on over there. And you just see people letting loose, but just in a comfortable, smooth, elegant way. And a stage with some minimalistic lighting going on and a beautiful backdrop of whatever beach you're imagining right now. Ladies and gentlemen, EDM champions, I want you to take a listen to the deep house songs and tracks and sounds and beautifulness from this guy called Soma. He is absolutely just blown up over the past few months. He only has 4 tracks, including this one, to his name, but he's just blown the fuck up and come out of nowhere. Champions, this is it. Imagine it in your heads right now. You've got the beach there, you've got the minimalistic lighting, you've got everything you need to form the perfect deep house vibe. Soma with his track called Howling.
Absolutely love this track. Good. I think it's the perfect, first of all, you gave an incredible intro. Like, I wish I had that intro the first time I listened to it. But I think it's just so good to like drive to his music. I listened to all of them and it's something I would have immediately like added to my Spotify playlist.
Love it.
But yeah, I seriously love that. Like the vibes are just totally amazing.
Yeah. Immaculate stuff here, Alec. Really, really great pick, bro. And I think I texted you this when you put this on our show notes, and I was just like, I love the piano in there. I really love the piano. Mm-hmm. I love the culmination of like organic instruments coupled with dance music. And I think you really got somebody here who just took that and ran with it. And that piano, everything is just so finely tuned and balanced in his tracks. What's going on though? How does this guy only have 4 tracks and is already garnering millions? Right? Millions of plays. What's going on here?
I don't understand it. He's just come. It's kind of like a Medusa done all over again, right? You know, Medusa with Piece of Your Heart really just kind of came out of nowhere. And he's done the same thing. I'm looking at Spotify right now. He has over 1 million monthly listeners already.
4 just from, songs.
4
That's
songs.
Crazy.
And he
4
just
songs, 1 million listeners.
Mm-hmm. It's unreal. And he just dropped one on as of this recording on the Friday, so February 19th. It's called Falling With You, but it's just like this track alone has over 2 million hits.
Crazy.
And I think what's interesting is we've kind of talked about this. It's got the catchiness of something that could go viral on a social media. But when you listen to it all in all, it's a fantastic fucking track. Like, it's done really, really well. It's something that you want to drive to, something that you want to vibe to. I think this is a really good example of what, you know, kind of the pop-ish influence and indie influence can be incorporated in with dance music. So he's just done a fantastic job, and just big ups to him. I have no idea how he's gotten, you know, all these streams so far, but I think he's doing a wonderful job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that brings us to the end. Bella, how you feeling? Feeling good over there?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Like, I loved this interview or podcast talk. Like, it was just, yeah, you guys are awesome.
Thank you. And it was really such a pleasure getting to know you. And it was really such a pleasure to just, you know, hear you get vulnerable and for you to open up with us. And I think that's just so important because we're all about authenticity here. And we're all about making people feel connected with one another. And we really appreciate the effort and the time that you put into being a part of Beyond the Beats and for being a friend of ours too. Thank you so much. But if you want to connect with Bella Renee, all the links to her SoundCloud, her Spotify, her Instagram, her Twitter, her social media, all that stuff is going to be right in the show notes. So head to beyondthebeats.co, click on episode 89. And then guys, don't forget, we would love it if you could show us some love as well. Hit subscribe on your favorite podcasting player. Drop a rating and review. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, TuneIn. We're also on the Stage EDM's premiere dance music content community, stagehoppers.com. But we will see you all next week for episode 90. And until then, keep it cool.